Welcome to the Weird But Harmless Hot Podcast with Ferris and Tim.
He is neither of those.
I'm neither of them.
We're going to call this guy Joseph.
Ramando Joseph.
Welcome to the show.
You were supposed to bring us in differently. I thought you were going to say something crazy.
No. I thought I was supposed to just bring you in.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the Weird But Harmless Podcast with Tim and Ferris on KWJJJ9 FM.
You know what I really didn't realize was so bad growing up was radio shows, like comedic radio shows. They were really not good.
No.
They were horrible.
You ever listen back to Roy D. Mercer? Did you ever listen to Roy D. Mercer?
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can remember going on road trips with Dad to business trips and stuff, and Roy D. Mercer was something we listened to, aside from, like, Phil Robertson's duck call classes.
Okay.
That's where I learned to blow a duck call.
I mean, I learned how to blow a squirrel call. It was actually one that you shaked, and you went, didn't make that sound, though.
That
sounds you remember you shook it like a, what's that, a meringue? What is it? Like a...
Maraca?
Yeah.
Maraca?
That's what you did. That thing was fucking worthless. You can't call a squirrel in.
Yeah.
You put corn out and you wait for them to come and you shoot us. That's what you do. All right. So, Ray Mercer.
Roy D. Mercer. He was kind of like one of these guys that prank calls, basically, record them. But you listen back to them now and you're just like, Jesus Christ. I can't believe I used to think this was entertaining. Which is the difference between late 90s, early 2000s to now, too.
Yeah. The radio was just kind of, I don't know, man. I go back and, like, listen to Bob and Tom and all those motherfuckers, and, like, they're just not funny. They're just, they had some things that were funny. What was the one that would come around here every now and then?
John Boy and Billy.
No, not them.
Lex and Terry.
Lex and Terry never came around. They still are on here.
Yeah, they're still on.
Are they still on?
Yeah.
Rock 106 in the early in the mornings, like
from 5 a.m. to 9 or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, something along the lines.
That was something I listened to when I worked on the ambulance. Like, I'd start at 6, and from 6 to 9, we'd listen to a show. I used to listen to it. Funny story. I called into him one time. I immediately regretted it because I talked about a relationship issue. And a friend of mine that I thought was a friend of mine contacted his wife that called this person I was in a relationship with, and it didn't end well for me. I mean,
did you say your name?
I just said my first name. And okay.
How they reckon? They just knew your voice?
Well, let's be honest. How many people with my name do you know in Monroe?
Not many.
What was the question?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
It was just some dumb young relationship issue.
Oh, how old were you? Just fucking
old enough. I was
just say you were 16.
Yeah.
Okay. I know exactly.
I was 18 to be legal.
Okay, you're 18. Okay, I got what you, I got what you're saying. So, I never called into him, but they had some stuff that were funny, but they would always have like sidekicks that always do something stupid. A lot of it was based off like Howard Stern. I mean, it was a lot of.
I did like the character Tank that they had.
Tank?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because they put him on like a city bus and had him do like wild shit, like play an accordion or a trumpet, and he had no clue how to play it, so he's just making noises, or he'd act like Christopher Walken on, like, talking out loud or whatever, and he's, like, recording it. Oh. The funniest thing they did, in my opinion, was they go to, like, grocery stores and be like, hey, I'm looking for my uncle. And for some reason, this name, I will never forget it because it stood out. And they're like, what's his name? He's like, Stu. They're like, okay, what's his last name? They're like, Pedassel. So the lady got on there, she's like, Stu Pedassel, we need you to come to the front. And, like, it broadcasts across the whole damn store. And
stupid ass. So, what was the local? And let's not get a little too personal with these people. Who are the local people? The Whip and Chad show.
Whip and Chad.
Whip died,
the
right?
Boy. I think.
Wait, which one died?
One of them had cancer or something, right?
No. I think he died of an overdose.
No.
Okay, am I wrong?
If you're talking about the one I think you're talking about, he just had a disease, and it finally, like, terminal disease, and it finally caught up to him. If you're talking about who I think you're talking about, I don't remember his name.
Well, I already said the name, Whip and Chad. I mean, I'm not trying to degrade them. I'm just saying.
No. Well, I'm saying, like, you're talking about the guy who died a few years ago?
Yeah.
No, I think he had, like, a legit disease, like a terminal disease that it just caught. I don't remember.
Whoops, sorry.
Allegedly. I don't really remember. I wasn't friends with the dude, but everybody I knew was, apparently.
I'm wrong. He did not dive over to. I apologize. I was wrong. I spoke out of my ass.
Yeah. So just a quick Google search brought up a show from 2015 where they had a memorial show for Whip. It doesn't go into details. So
okay.
I'm not going to go in. But I do remember listening to them.
They were funny for a little while, but I think they still got, even they got played out. I think I just got bored of them. I think that's what it would come down to.
I also think if you're doing something every day.
Hold on one second. Here's the deal. The Whipping Boy Show, which was Whip and Chad, if I'm not mistaken. Let me keep reading here.
Okay.
It says that they broadcast across the southern United States and parts of Alaska.
Oh. I do remember they accidentally got a woman to say fuck on the radio. That's the only thing I can really remember, like something that they said. She goes, fuck? And they're like, oh, God.
I think the funniest thing I ever heard on the radio was when Bobby Jindal, and I've told the story, and I don't care. I will tell it a million fucking times.
Yeah, this is them. The Whipping Show. The Whipping Boy Show.
Speak in the microphone a little more.
The Whipping Boy Show. Amy, they had a co-host named Amy Scott, and it says that she was a graduate of Louisiana Delta Community College and Louisiana Tech. So I don't know much more other than that.
Damn, Jay, you built that up.
I thought something.
Brian Jarvis was part of the show. He was born in Hawaii, raised in Europe, lives in the southern United States, and in parentheses, Arkansas, and then transplanted to Florida. So
yeah.
This is an old website from 2008.
God damn. Tim. Is this the chicken fight one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I might have told you this story, Jay. So it's like right when Bobby Jindal was running the first time, and he came up here and he did a radio show. And, you know, his whole thing was trying to get young voters. So he goes on Rock 106, and I'm driving to Bastrop or from Bastrop. I don't remember. And, like, I remember all the little details because I was just like, what the fuck? But this lady calls in, and I don't remember the first question she asked. It was a legit question. You know, she said she was from Rabel, and it was very, you know, Mr. Jindal, you know, she had, it was thick. And the first question was very serious. I don't remember what it was because the second one was so fucking absurd. What's your opinion on chicken fighting? Because me and my husband doing, we just don't think it's right that the government's telling us we can't do it. And Jindal goes, and he answered the first question, and he just completely ignored the second.
I think he could have been like, ma'am, I'm sorry to say, but chickens can't consent to fighting each other with razor blades on their talons.
Bobby Jindal was an odd character, I guess, if you really think about it, for Louisiana.
Jindeep, was that his real name?
I don't know what it is really. We can Google that real quick.
I thought it was funny because then we talked about it because he ran.
I just made up an Indian name out of my mind. I've heard Jindeep.
So here's how I met Bobby Jindal, because he had this big push into bringing NASCAR into Louisiana. dead serious. Dad bought a restaurant and was changing the name of it and everything. And part of the transition of that was when Jindal was running for governor, and he brought in the Allison brothers, Davey and Bobby, which none of your listeners probably know or care, and Daryl Waltrip. And I was so, like, just blown out of my mind. Like, Daryl Waltrip, the dude that commentates NASCAR, was an awesome driver. Like, I was enamored by this. And I remember going up to the restaurant and meeting Daryl Waltrip, and they were talking about, we're bringing NASCAR to Louisiana. And I was so friggin' pumped. And then they built what's now Revolution Raceway Park.
That, you know what? I'm going to go on my own little tangent here, so I apologize. That Revolution Park is just Monroe to the T. Just half-assed. And it's like, could have made it a full NASCAR.
Absolutely.
But what did we do? We didn't.
Absolutely. It's a 3/8 mile. for example, Bristol Motor Speedway hosts two races a year. It's a half mile. So an eighth of a mile difference is all you're looking at, really. They built it identical to Bristol, but made it so damn small they couldn't bring in an actual national series from NASCAR. They brought in local talent and called it NASCAR's home track and stuff like that. They completely mismanaged it. The people that managed it in the beginning, the guy that was part of the initial management that had the NASCAR ties because he was a former NASCAR official and was friends with all these guys and had a relationship built with them, as soon as they got the track built and they got the notoriety from NASCAR saying it's a NASCAR home track, they canned him, tossed him. And I didn't really care for the guy as a person. I had some issues with him myself that I won't go into. But he was what was needed to bring NASCAR here. And they canned him as soon as they got these titles. And then you watch what happened to the track. It sold out. It ended up going into bankruptcy, getting bought from a group from Chicago. I guess the only thing you can say cool about it now is they covered it in dirt. So instead of it being an asphalt racetrack, it's now a dirt racetrack. And Dylan Scott, the country singer from Bastrop, he's had some hand in it. And another company here in town. And they've brought back at least dirt racing here. And they brought in we went to it, the World of Outlaws sprint cars.
Did they bring it again? Have they already
done it? They were supposed to bring the late models. And I don't know what happened. They had to cancel, like, the last minute. Because I was going to take Kennedy to it, and that didn't happen.
I wanted to go, but this time I was going to make sure I brought some fucking glasses.
Yeah. So weird question. Like, okay, you said was it intended to be an official NASCAR length, or and somebody fucked up, or did somebody go, you know, we just can't afford that much more. We can't afford 1/8 of a mile more asphalt. I mean, I need details on how you screwed this up.
Sounds more like politics.
I don't know exactly, but I can say this, that the property next to it is owned by somebody that owns a lot of property. So I'm thinking that they withheld on some of it and that had something to play into it.
Do we know this person?
Speculation. I'm not going to say names or anything. Speculation on it.
That'd be harmless after dark.
Yeah. And I will say this. And Ferris was there. When the World of Outlaws came in, which World of Outlaws, the NOS Energy World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series, is the top sprint car series in North America. You have some complete badasses from NASCAR stars, Kyle Larson, Casey Kane, Brad Sweet, a bunch of guys. Steve Kinger racing it for a long time. A bunch of guys, big name people that race dirt cars or whatever. Tim, you're looking at me like I have no fucking clue.
I know, but I'm interested in
the story.
I am.
I know some of those people.
But they came in. Casey Kane was there that night. Brad Sweet was there. Kyle Larson was not there, which that probably would have stunk up the show a lot. But the dude is a freak of a driver. I know y'all don't care about auto
Which
racing
one?
Or anything. Kyle Larson.
Oh, okay.
For example, Sunday he raced in a NASCAR Cup Series race on a cannibalized oval track that's in a street course / road course combination. So it was a road race is what it's considered, but it's on an oval track where they utilize the infield. Won that race. Turned around the next night and went and raced a late model dirt car. Won that race. Then turned around the next day and went and got in a sprint car and won that race. Like, that's three different total driving abilities. Dude has dominated. Last year he ran, I think it was 86 races, and he won like 82 of them or something like that. It was 96 and 82 that he won, whatever it was. The percentage of him going to win a race, he got in a late model dirt car for the first time in his life and went out and won the race. Like, completely spanked everybody.
Never been in one before?
Never been in one before. He turned some hot laps in it, went qualified, ran the race, and beat the living piss out of everybody.
It's just talent.
Absolutely.
It's pure talent.
Absolutely.
Better
He's
than
one with the vehicle.
Dale Earnhardt, better than Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Don't you hate on old Dale.
No, Jr.
So there's...
I like old Dale Jr.
I like Dale Jr. myself. He's got a pretty cool podcast that goes into like some old racing stories and stuff. Dale Jr. has his place in NASCAR history. He was definitely beneficial for the sport. Unfortunately, I think at a young age, he had the weight of the world as far as NASCAR and auto racing in America was considered dropped on his shoulder after his dad passed away.
And he's royalty. He comes from a family of royalty for NASCAR.
Basically. And I think if you listen to him talk, he's kind of a conservative mindset, not politically speaking or anything, but he's just real mellow, real calm about himself. Like, he doesn't get too full of himself. And I think all these people expected all this of him, and he
what was his dad like? Same way, or is he kind of like a cocky motherfucker?
A cocky motherfucker, wasn't he?
Who was it that sent the picture the other day?
I sent the picture.
And where the shirt says, "I'm damn good."
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him. I mean, he was good, but he also knew how to market it.
Right.
And that's what's crazy is, like, his team developed a bumper sticker that was, like, anti-Dell. It was, like, the number 3 with the cross through it saying, like, no 3 here or whatever. And they sold it, not under their label or their logo or anything, and people bought the hell out of it. He made a ton of money off of it. The whole deal with him and Jeff Gordon was kind of like they would talk about stuff, and then whenever it came time for a race day or whatever, they'd rough one another up because why? It sold tickets, got people interested. Like, hey, here's this California kid, Hollywood kid, and here's this redneck, and they're beating the piss out of one another. It's pretty entertaining. So
were they in on it a little bit?
I would say there was a little bit of show with it.
It was one of those, like, I really don't like this guy. He's my competitor. Or I don't like this. He's my competitor. And I also really kind of don't like him. He's kind of really different from me. But
I can make a lot
they
of
both
money.
Help butter our bread.
There was a respect for talent between the two. Absolutely. You can go with saying that they would play up some of the things on camera and on radio to fulfill their the stigma of everything. I mean, hell, I remember going to car races when I was younger, and that was in the peak of, like, so I think 94.
Speak a little more in the microphone. Sorry.
93 or 94, I went to a race in Talladega. I was a young kid, like,
yeah,
5 or 6 years old. Anyways, I remember walking through the parking lot and seeing guys in Jeff Gordon shirts and guys in Dale Earnhardt shirts beating the piss out of one another in the parking lot. And I was just like, man, this is awesome. And that's just the way it was.
That, like, is the most redneck thing ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you see guys are like, yeah, I like this guy, I like that guy. Like,
it lost some of the outlawish, like, roots.
It's too corporate now.
It's so corporate.
A lot of the personalities and everything are really, really tame. Like Chase Elliott, for example. I don't really care for him. He's NASCAR's most popular driver. He is a marketable person. He has the sponsorship. He has the success and everything with him. But whenever he gets on camera, he's just kind of,
okay, is there, in NASCAR, is there something that's similar to the, like, in, what's it called in wrestling? The promo? The shot, what's the wrestling terminology?
What do you mean? I'm trying to, like.
Shoot, someone who can go in there and shoot.
So, in wrestling, shoot means it's real. Promo is just whenever you cut, like, a promo. Oh, I'm going to go whoop his ass.
Are you talking about, like, a heel and a face, basically? Like, you have the face of the sport, and you have the heel that's the rival.
Well, that too, but what I mean is like, you need the person who can drive, but also get on there and be like.
You need the personalities.
And be like Hulk Hogan. Yeah, brother, like, this is what I'm gonna go out there and win the race. You know, obviously, it's not going to be like wrestling, but in a way, it's a similar thing.
Yeah, and that's.
Make people hate you or make people really like you.
So, we can. Coincidentally, Kevin Harvick, for example, just had this big run-in with Chase Elliott where at Bristol, Harvick was leading the race. Him and Chase made contact. He cut down Chase's left front tire. Chase went in and pitted and came back out with the sole purpose. His teammate was running in second, so his sole purpose was to slow Harvick down enough for his teammate to have a chance to win. Ended up, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott's teammate, won the race.
Y'all keep talking for a second.
Harvick didn't win the race. And Harvick's pretty pissed about it. Well, this past weekend, Harvick dumped Chase going into a corner and, like, completely what looked like he junked his car. Chase then kind of retaliated on track and tried to spin Harvick out, missed, crashed into someone else, came into pits, fixed the car up, whatever. This dude's, that whole back end of the car is, like, mangled to pieces. And they taped it back together with bear bond and duct tape. And he comes out there and he's running the 12th fastest time on the track. So that's kind of like your Harvick's the heel. And this kind of stretches back to 2014. He made a comment about Dale Jr. being the most popular driver, but not the most successful driver. Whereas Chase Elliott right now is the most popular driver And he's arguably a very successful driver. He's won a couple of races this year and everything. So that's...
You could almost say, like, especially racing in general needs that, though. Because, I mean, you know, I've tried to, like, I've tried to watch it, man. It's just not my thing. It's not...
Yeah.
But, I mean, you strip that out of it, it's almost even more boring.
Yeah. So, and that's what, after Harvick wrecked Chase this past weekend, the whole focus of everything was, if the 9 gets back to the 4 car, what's going to happen? And then, of course, right before an incident happened, Harvick kind of suffered some damage from another car and was overheating. But there was like 10 laps left in the race. So he was trying his best to still compete. And you got this whole playoff thing going on. So they were eliminating from 12 drivers to 8 drivers for the championship race. Harvick was in 9th. Elliott was in 8th. So they were fighting against who was going to transfer, who wasn't. Chase came up behind Harvick. After Harvick already punted him in the wall, Chase is chasing him into the turn one. And Harvick, I mean, there's video evidence of it. He looks back in the mirror and sees Chase coming, and he knows, like, all right, this dude's going to get me. But he's also knowing that his car is struggling with handling and the issue of him overheating. So he's kind of in desperation mode of, like, I got to do something. I got to gain some spots here so I stay ahead of him. And he just overdrove the corner and drove himself in the wall. Chase Elliott was behind him, and Chase even locked up his brakes coming in behind him, but Harvick took himself out. But that whole dramatic situation for 90-something laps was when the 9 gets back to the 4, Chase just said on his radio, his crew chief said, hey, if we take him out, we secure our spot in the chase, or in the playoffs. And so that was known, that the 9 car was going to intentionally wreck the 4 car of Kevin Harvick. If it came down to it, and Harvick knew it was coming.
Is that against the rules?
I mean, NASCAR has to frown on that, because, I mean, the
depends on who you are. So Chase Elliott is the face of NASCAR right now.
So, I mean, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm just sitting here thinking NASCAR is probably like, yeah, attention. Oh, shit, this dude just crashed into the wall, and on live TV, his brain's just fucking smashed everywhere.
Yeah, no. So what's crazy is, like, the in-car camera where he hits the wall, like, he doesn't even tense up. Like, he knows it's happening. You see him trying to drive out of it, but there's nothing he can really do. He hit the wall, and he kind of looked around, tried to restart the car, saw the damage, realized the car wasn't going to run. He climbs out of the car, like, no emotion, whatever. But here's the funny thing about this. They asked him after the race, do you think anything else is coming? He said, sometimes real life teaches you a lesson. Well, I think that's kind of him saying, like, I screwed myself, but I still have the opportunity to hamper him. Well, NASCAR had a meeting today with the 9 team and the 4 team, said, y'all two stay away from each other. One, Chase Elliott is the face of NASCAR, most popular driver. He's in the playoffs. Kevin Harvick is a pretty popular driver, pretty successful driver. He just got eliminated. And he said, basically, like, I'm going to make it hell on him. NASCAR said, y'all cut it out. We don't want you to screw with one another throughout the playoffs. So basically NASCAR saying, it's fine for you to have on-track drama. It's fine for you to be whatever you want to be and have these run-ins. However, don't screw up our money-making ability on having the most popular guy get eliminated from the playoffs.
Isn't that kind of fixing things?
Seems like it.
Yeah.
In a way, a roundabout way of saying we're fixing the sport because we want to make money.
It comes down to money. Because when Chase Elliott, now both teams have great sponsors, but Chase Elliott is the marketable driver. He's the driver that has the most money. His team owner has the most money, brings a lot of money to the sport, brings a lot of eyes to the sport. So if you eliminate him, you kind of lose the sex appeal, I guess.
It kind of seems like they're making sure it's like, hey, we can't guarantee who's going to win, but we can guarantee that the face that runs the place is at least in contention.
Absolutely, that's it. So, I mean, and there's stories that go back to, like, when Jeff Gordon was beating the living piss out of everybody, winning 13 races a year, where Bill France, the president of NASCAR at the time, was like, hey, you're stinking up my show. And they would throw cautions to bring the field back together because Jeff Gordon would be out about the lap, damn near everybody on the track, and they would throw a caution, like, oh, there was debris out there, and bring him back in or whatever to make it more interesting, knowing that they weren't doing anything to purposefully ruin his chances of winning, but they were trying to make it
more competitive,
a little bit more on the edge of your
seat. So basically, it kind of seems like NASCAR in a way is the opposite, you know, because, you know, you got like John Jones, and even though he has a loss on his record, he's really undefeated. It's like people tune, Floyd Mayweather, people tune in hoping to see him finally get beat. NASCAR don't seem like it. It seems like, you know.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah. And that's the thing. There's a handful of drivers that can be that guy that's bringing the eyes to the sport. Like last year, okay, put this in perspective. Harvick won 9 races last year. This year,
you can move. You can move this if you want.
I'm just kind of moving around.
All right. Okay. Sorry.
I'm a fidgeter.
Go ahead.
Like not a fidget spinner, but a fidgeter, I guess. But anyways, Harvick hadn't won any races this year. So that's kind of what made Bristol so weird, was like he's in the position to win. Like, and if he wins, that's bonus points to move him into the next round of the playoffs and everything else. So that's what the way that Chase handled things, saying, I'm going to go out and help my teammate win the race. And then when he got back out on track, he passed by Harvick, sideswiped him, trying to cut his tire down, failed, and then just basically rode around half throttle in front of Harvick, blocking his line enough. Like, Harvick wasn't really trying to wreck him, but it slowed him down enough to where Kyle Larson came up behind him and was just like, had a better car anyways, and drove around him and won the race. And it's kind of like, so that's what pissed Harvick off. And then afterwards, they got in a little confrontation, which they got face to face with one another. Harvick left his helmet on, which I thought was, I don't know. If you're going to get out and confront somebody, right? I don't want to wear a helmet. Like, I don't
want
to
hit him with it.
To me, that seems like a sign of weakness. And I really think what it was is Harvick, one, marketing at its finest. He had a brand new sponsor on the side of his helmet, and he's wearing this right here on national TV.
Hmm.
Interesting. Two, it was like as soon as the cars came to a halt, he was climbing out of the car. And I think he had it in his mind, like, I'm going to go over here and tell this dude what I think, and we're going to have a discussion about this. And if it gets physical, then what the fuck ever. But he had his helmet on the whole time, so it was kind of like,
you pussy.
Yeah, that's basically what it was taken.
I'm not going to get back to...
we can get away from NASCAR.
No, Earnhardt.
I'm not going to lie, though. Like, I have actually been interested. Like,
No. Well, this is, we're still in NASCAR.
Like, I could give a shit about NASCAR, but Jay, he's told it in a way I'm like, kind of interesting.
Dale Earnhardt Jr., you tell me where I'm wrong, because I obviously don't know near as much as you. He had the famous father, the winning father. Obviously, he has to live up to that. NASCAR, they probably see that that's a cash cow. The king and his prince son is going to become. But I think
that,
the problem.
He had the biggest sponsor in motorsports, Budweiser.
At the time.
This is in the heyday of like tobacco money coming into sports and everything. Like, he had Budweiser pouring multi-million dollars in. They left Hendrick Motorsports to come sponsor Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Right.
Like, that's just.
You know, the irony of it is, if I'm not mistaken, he ended up having to go to Hendrick Motorsports, didn't he?
Yeah. So,
hold on one second. Let me save this one thing, and I'll let Jay riff because he knows what he's talking about. did he kind of get screwed by circumstance? He had all this going against him, and he may have ran into one of the greatest generations of racers of NASCAR. And he ran into like 4 or 5 guys that were just so good that he just couldn't win. Or win a lot.
So, I'm going to, since none of y'all know anything about NASCAR, you two don't know anything about NASCAR. Jeff Gordon.
Yeah.
Heard of him?
Yes.
Okay.
So I took half his shit.
Tony Stewart.
Yeah.
I know the name.
Yes.
Okay. Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Then you throw in Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin,
Mark Martin. That's one I remember. I always kind of
liked him.
The
Casey Kane, even. You throw in those guys with that, like, that was definitely the most competitive era in NASCAR. And I think Dale Jr. won 26 races.
Right.
Which doesn't seem like a lot, but you look at where he's at on the all-time win list, he's still pretty decently up there. I mean, Kevin Harvick's won 56 races. Dude's it was just a completely different era. So Richard Petty and David Pearson, Bobby Allison, you can name off all these guys. They raced in extremely competitive eras, but it was where there was an era of 2 or 3 guys would be competitive at a track.
There was a big gap.
And they were running, they would run a race Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sometimes Monday. So they were running like 4 races a week versus now where they run basically on a Sunday and that's it. Which last year you had some weird instances because of COVID stuff where they tried to catch up on the schedule where they ran some weekday races and stuff like Thursday nights and Wednesday nights and stuff like that, and then turn around and race again on Sunday. But for the most part, whenever – I mean, Richard Petty's won 200 Cup Series races. That'll probably never be reached. Kyle Busch, however, has won over 200 National Series races. That's between the Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series. He's won over – I think he's at 101 or 102 Xfinity Series races. Like, that's just unheard of, especially because the guy in second place has won, like, I think 53 or 63. I can't remember the number off the top of my head right now. But
What's the number one race? Like the highest?
The most watched race?
No, no. Like what is the Winston Cup? Like what is, you know, it used to be the Winston and it was the Nextel and it was the Sprint. What's the?
Now it's just called the NASCAR Cup Series. And they have four
sponsors?
Official sponsors of Geico, Coca-Cola, Busch, and Xfinity.
Okay.
They tried to market it because there were so many. They had Monster Energy for 2 years or whatever, 2 or 3 years. I can't remember now. But they had an issue with trying to market to every person they were trying to get to. So they just said, you know what, we'll have title sponsors, like people that are interested in sponsoring the sport, i.e. Coca-Cola, Busch, Xfinity, and Geico. That would do a lot of – they were big sponsors in the sport, and they helped pretty much co-sponsor the whole deal. But it's just called the Cup Series now.
Is there any car, anyone who drives a car that only has one sponsor?
I think the closest you could come to would be maybe Denny Hamlin right now with FedEx. He's the longest-running sponsor-driver relationship. Had the same team, same sponsor, same number, same driver since 2006, I believe. I know he raced a couple of races in 2005. I think 2006 was the official year. But, I mean, even with that said, this weekend he's running Craftsman as a sponsor instead of FedEx. So,
well, what about back in the day, did Jeff Dale Earnhardt have a specific sponsor?
Yeah, so he started – I mean, he had a couple of different sponsors, but where he became famous was Wrangler and then – GM Goodrich was basically.
Yeah, that's
what GM Goodrich initially wanted the car to be painted blue because they had a brake box that was blue. And they were like, man, this looks horrible. Like, and so they actually took black duct tape and duct taped half the car black and showed it to the GM Goodrich officials and was like, here, this is what we're going to put on the track. It looks mean. It looks awesome. And they went with it. So that's where he became the Intimidator with the black car. Black number three became famous after that.
Okay. How long was the Intimidator? Like, did it have that color scheme?
I'm trying to remember the year that was. I won't say it was like in the late 80s. Definitely early 90s. I won't say it was like 88, 89, somewhere in there is where that came about. And it might have been earlier than that. Like, for some reason, 86 just popped in my head. So. I mean, I'm sure I could Google it real quick, but.
Well, I can remember that Goodrich car the best. Well, that and Mark Martin's car.
Which one?
I think, God damn it, now you put me on the spot. Who had a blue one? Who had like a bright blue one?
So Mark Martin had a bright blue one. When we went to Talladega,
Mark Martin had a bright blue one. Okay.
Mark Martin first came famous. He first raced for Folgers with the red car, and then he got Valvoline sponsorship. So Valvoline was kind of like the trademark deal that the number six car, Valvoline, Mark Martin, was kind of the big deal. And Mark Martin's probably arguably, him and Denny Hamlin would be arguably the two most successful drivers that never won a championship. But that's where he became famous, was with the Valvoline color scheme.
Okay.
And then he got the one and only Viagra.
Oh, yeah. Who's the Viagra car now?
Nobody.
They won't let them anymore?
Just Pfizer's not sponsoring. They're too busy sponsoring, like, COVID vaccines and stuff.
What else you got on there, Tim? That was pretty good.
On a side note, so the one thing I do know about NASCAR is Dale Earnhardt Jr.
You got to pee?
He had
Do it outside. Cats get out if you don't.
Go ahead. So his dad had his own team. It was Dale Earnhardt Racing. His stepmom.
Who is this?
Dale Earnhardt.
Okay.
Junior. So, but his dad had his own racing team. It was Dale Earnhardt, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. was under that. Well, Dale Earnhardt Jr. technically does not own the company with his name on it. His stepmom does. Him and his stepmom had a falling out. So, and this is the only reason I know, this is the only thing I know about NASCAR, is basically him and his stepmom had a falling out, so he left the company with his name on it and went to Hendrix.
I remember that. I remember, like...
it being a, it was a big deal for NASCAR world. Like, hold up, man. That's his name on the...
I always thought that was weird. Like, I always thought it was weird that musicians could lose the music rights to their own music and stuff.
So, actually, strange thing about the music industry, most of the time, musicians never actually own the rights to their music.
Okay. So, you got to explain this to me because I don't really understand it.
Okay. So, when you... and it's changing now with, like, different...
Michael Jackson... Michael Jackson was famous for buying, like, the Beatles?
Michael Jackson bought the Beatles. Yeah. He bought the Beatles.
I think... didn't he buy Eminem's, too?
No.
Okay. Was that some bullshit made up on the internet?
I don't think so. Okay. But anyway, so basically what happens is when you when the record company comes up to you, and once again, this is back in the day. It's changed a little bit now because there's different social media platforms, and basically you can make your own music and put it out into the world. But back, you know, when record contracts were a thing and CDs and marketing and stuff, you know, record label come up, here's a contract. And most of the time, they were not favorable to the artist. 90% of the time, they were not favorable to the artist, you know. And be like, the best you could hope for, especially starting out, was 50-50. And most of the time starting out, you didn't get that. It was, hey, we're the record company. We're going to put this money behind you to push your album. But we're also going to keep probably 70-75% of the profits, and you're going to make 20-25% of the profits. Now, when you get what happens when you sell a lot, and so when you get that record deal, usually what it is too, though, is you have to, it's like a 4-record deal. You got to make 4 records, and then you can renegotiate.
Jay, what we're talking about is owning the rights to your own music as a musician. So, okay. In case you know. All right, go ahead.
And what happens a lot of times, especially back in the day, you know, they'd crank out them 4 records, and if they were a big enough band, fuck you, we're keeping our music. Now, sometimes in a lot of contracts, they were still able to, the record company kept the rights to the music to those first 4 records for an extended amount of time.
Right.
Now, when the bands negotiated that second contract, they would negotiate a much bigger music rights deal for their, to keep their shit. But yeah, a lot of the, like back in the day, a lot of times artists did not, you know, they did not actually own their own music.
So, okay, I don't know if you know this. How did that dude that was, he owned a hedge fund, and he bought the medicine, and he increased the price from like $4 to like $700, and he also bought the Wu-Tang Clan's rights?
He didn't buy the rights. He bought the rights to one album.
Oh, one album, okay.
Yeah.
That
wasn't released yet. He bought it and kept it to himself, if I'm not mistaken. He was a little bit of a prick.
That's kind of like the deal. What was the dude? I won't say it was a dude. Like Taylor Swift's records. Like he bought the rights to it or whatever. Like
I'm not as familiar with
this. Wasn't he like?
I'm trying to remember. Was there something that went
on?
Did
he buy Kesha's thing too? The artist Kesha.
This dude bought a ton of music. And then, like, profited off of it, and he had nothing to do with it other than he just paid money for the rights.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of it, man. It's the music industry. That's why it's like, and so the main reason I know this
Scooter
is because
Scooter Braun. Scooter Braun was the guy that apparently had her music, and then he sold it to Big Machine Masters. Made a ton of money off of it, and somehow she missed out on all of it. And I think that had something to do with, was she trying to go to just Spotify, or did she?
Yeah, she was making a big fucking boatload of money doing something.
Yeah.
Oh, quick correction. Bobby Gentle's name was not Sanjeev. my completely bigoted fucking thing I said, just making up a fucking Indian name that I just heard before. His first name was, I'm saying it wrong, but Piyush, P-I-Y-U-S-H, Piyush Jindal, not Sanjeev.
Yeah, apparently
my apologies.
Bobby was just like a nickname for him.
Right. Did NASCAR and wrestling ever have like a combination?
Yeah, dude, okay. There was actually in the
late, I really wanted to hear that. Yes.
In the late 90s, there was like a WCW NWO deal that not only like took place in real life between the two wrestling events, but also like the race teams actually basically brought this to the track, like to the point where they cross promoted it.
Yeah.
They brought the driver in to talk smack about the other driver that was driving, like that. I remember NWO with, I think it was Randy Savage and Jason Keller. Jason Keller drove the NWO car, was talking smack about the WCW car because the WCW car wrecked early in the race. And like he played it up like this big deal. And it was like really awkward because Jason Keller wasn't this polished actor. He was just a race car driver. And they tried to get him to like make this big deal, bigger than what it was, that the WCW car wrecked. It was so freaking cringe watching it on YouTube, but it was funny too because Randy Savage was cringing himself.
He was. Okay, let me tell you one of the most cringe things I've ever seen to get promoted among wrestling. Because, you know, the Attitude Era in like the 2000s, they were really a lot more whorish. Like, whatever they could like move into, it'd be a movie, it didn't matter what it was. You right over there?
Yeah. Okay. John Cena. Marine.
Well,
way to go, Brett.
It was somebody, I think it was, God damn it, who was it? Anyways, it was Chucky, like the Bride of Chucky or something like that. The movie was coming out, and they had Chucky on the big screen. You know all about this, Tim. I knew I was throwing that bait out there, and I just knew something was going to bite.
I don't know about that one. I don't remember that one. But recently, so, you know, you had the Batista movie on Netflix that was a zombie movie, right?
Right.
So, at one of the pay-per-views, they had The Miz. You know who The Miz is?
I don't.
Yeah, The Miz and Mrs.
Yeah. It's a decent little TV.
I haven't watched it. I've just seen the advertisements.
I watched like two episodes.
The dude creeps me out because he's like, has no lip or something. That's weird looking.
Okay. But anyway, so on one of the pay-per-views, they have...
Maybe it's eyelids.
They have zombies come out and attack The Miz and eat him. But he's on the show the next day.
Okay.
And that is where a lot of people finally just said, fuck WWE. But.
So.
It's like Sharknado they signed a deal. Like one of the Sharknado deals signed a deal with Penske Racing to have their drivers on there. And Brad Keselowski, who is just an awkward human being as it is. Like, I love him to death because he drove the Miller Lite car. But whatever. Outside of that, his line is he's wearing the Miller Lite fire suit. And he says, oh, hell no. And a shark. falls out of the sky and eats him, and that's his only line of the movie. And like, that's how a lot of people know him, is, hey, you were in Sharknado. It's like, yeah, hey, forget man. The fact you're a NASCAR champion.
Okay, you know who else was in Sharknado?
There's a lot of people in Sharknado.
Yeah, there was also a very famous person who sold Subway sandwiches.
Oh,
Jared Fogle was in it. He was in two of them.
I don't know. I only watched like the first two.
I couldn't watch the first one.
Different kind of sharks in prison.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
He's such, that video we watched was so creepy. He's such a creep.
As big as a scumbag as he was, his old lady was an even bigger scumbag.
Yeah, fuck her. Fuck her. And like, she knew what was going on, and she was trying. She ratted him out because I think she knew for a long time and didn't say anything.
It was basically like she knew, but all of a sudden he started looking at her kids a little weird, and that's when she was like, oh.
Yeah, now it's her kids who are being, like, could be victimized by him. So now I was like, yeah, fuck her. I didn't like her.
It's kind of a weird tie-in, I guess, but bringing NASCAR to something like that.
Was there a Subway
car?
Nothing, I'm a NASCAR fan or anything.
Kevin Harvick was actually sponsored by Subway when he had his run-in with Chase Elliott.
Okay.
He was driving for Hooters that day. So that was the first race for Subway.
So basically both bad food brands.
But bringing this also, you actually met Brian Vickers at Talladega.
Yeah, right? Didn't know who he was.
Okay, his wife was the interior designer for Jeffrey Epstein.
Oof.
And he had some issues with different stuff. He had some health issues, but outside of the health issues, kind of once it came out about everything with Epstein, disappeared. Like, nobody talks about him. Nobody hangs out with him. Nobody brings him up anymore. It's weird.
Was Subway ever a big-time sponsor for NASCAR?
They sponsored a couple of races, and they sponsored some drivers. Personal deal. I did a personal boycott on Subway.
Okay.
Because they sponsored Carl Edwards. Carl Edwards was basically forced into a retirement for Daniel Suarez, who was from Monterrey, Mexico. So it was like this big push. Like he had a sponsorship from Aris, which was owned by, I can't remember who owned it. It was a Mexican businessman. But it was kind of like this deal. It's a weird deal where there's a conspiracy theory that Carl Edwards is forced into retirement. Daniel Suarez came in and he did an interview. And in the interview, he brought Dunkin' Donuts to the interviewers, and Subway canceled his sponsorship after it. And then like the whole deal came out, like, wait a second, there's like thousands of locations where Subway shares a building with Dunkin' Donuts, and you assholes just fired a minority driver, basically. So,
well, I mean,
they hadn't sponsored my till this year.
Subway kind of knew about Jared Fogle for a little bit, so it's not like they were the most moral. They didn't have much moral. They weren't very moral.
Which, let's be honest, most companies, they really don't until they have to. Oh shit! It's
which, you know, we're not going to get into it because of certain reasons. Maybe me and Tim will do it next week. you can get fired for saying a lot of things, but no one really said anything about, you know, let's say Subway for the longest time letting a fucking pedophile do his...
Go into schools.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, I know they got shit afterwards, but they knew for a long time.
They had an idea.
What was making money, though?
Yeah.
Another thing... I think the thing that bothered me the most, though, was, you know, he was talking about all he ate with Subway. Well, he did, yes, but he calorie restricted so hard that it's like, yeah, he lost weight. He was only eating 1,000 calories a day.
Well, he went from eating like 8,000 calories a day to eating one. It's kind of like those Netflix documentaries that are like, he started juicing and look how much weight he lost from juicing. Okay, he started taking in 1,500 calories for a while, but beforehand he was taking in 12,000 a day. Yeah, I could see why he could lose weight. You could literally get a fucking... Sloppy Joe that was 1,000 calories and gave one Sloppy Joe to him every fucking day and he would have lost weight.
There was actually like a college professor that lived off of gas station food, but he allotted himself what, like under 2,000 calories.
Yeah, he did.
But he was eating shit like Twinkies and Hostess snacks.
He did the experiment pretty much just to show what, you know, you can eat whatever the fuck you want. It could be
calorie deficit.
Yeah, as long as you're in a caloric deficit, you're good, because he sat there and ate like donuts and pizza and shit. But I mean, he just stayed under 2,000 for the day.
Like, yeah. I think, was it like 6 months he did of where he ate nothing but like snacks out of a gas station?
I don't know about
and
that.
He lost a bunch of weight off of it, and he was like, "This is the proof here. You can eat whatever you want as long as you eat it in moderation and still maintain the exercise."
Now, I mean, you might not have a fucking shredded up six pack by all means, but I mean, you ain't gonna be.
Might be a little vitamin deficient.
Man, that's a problem with America as a whole, and I'm the perfect picture for it right now. overeating and not working out. Like, that is, what is it? Like, damn near half of our population is obese right now. I think it's like 42%, right?
It's over that. It's like, it's over 50.
Also, I'm going to say this, though, and knowing this now, what is, because there is, so like, me, Ferris, and another friend started this weight loss competition. I am at 20. When I did my thing a few weeks ago, I was at 26% body fat. Okay? I am technically considered obese. Cause I have. Now, you look at me, and you're like, now, the question is, do I fall into that statistic of the percentage of I'm obese? Or is, you know, does that statistic, I'm trying to figure out how to say this, but it's like I said, I'm considered obese, but if you look at me, you're like, dog, you look like you need some fucking food.
Right.
Versus, you know,
weird scale that we use for BMI stuff is just, it's off as a whole. Like, so for example, what was that, 2011 2012, I mean, you were working out all the time,
and we did the shortcut to size.
Fucking jacked.
We were freaking huge.
Ferris was as big wide as he was fucking tall.
The problem was, I'd go to like drill on the weekends and I could pass the PT test and everything. But when it came to doing, like, the weigh-in, like, my height versus weight, they wanted me to weigh 175 pounds. And we were both somewhere, what, around 260 pounds?
Fuck, you were jacked.
We were fucking huge.
Y'all were goddamn gigantic.
And according to the military scale, I was morbidly obese.
See, I mean, once again, though, because, like, I remember y'all. I mean, y'all were, like...
6'2 at 260 pounds, and it was substantially a large amount of muscle.
I remember whenever me and Ferris went out that night, too, like, somebody was stopped and asking for directions, because they were like, yeah, we just came from a ULM game, and he goes, are you sure you don't play for the team, too? You're the size of a fucking mountain.
I mean, there were not... I'm not going to say there were serious offers, but there was... We went to an event at ULM.
Yeah.
And... Todd Berry was a coach, right, at the time. And I remember bumping into – it wasn't Todd. Todd was with them, but it was somebody else, in a, like an assistant coach, that asked something about if I'd ever thought about trying to walk on a college team. And I was just like – I kind of laughed about it, like, no.
Think
like,
about it.
I'm not – I'm way out of football shape.
Yeah. And think I about learned. It is, though, is like I've kind of learned if they see anybody that's in remotely good shape, they're going to ask that because – guy who came on the podcast before, Trevor, owns Heavyweights. He was telling me, he like, they asked him about it. He's like, man, I'm not going to walk on and be their fucking tackling dummy. Fuck that.
Yeah.
So, this is fucking great. So, me and Jay were like, we were also waking up early in the morning sometimes to work out. We were fucking, I mean, we were working out hard, but the bad thing was, is that we had so much testosterone running, and we were just, not only that, but we'd wake up like at 4:30 in the morning. Me and him have never been at odds more than that, ever. Well, we still worked out every day with each other, but we were that close many a day to getting into a fight. And I think the dumbest thing that ever happened, and Jay remembers it, it was at his grandmother's house. So me, I don't know what the fuck. Okay, so Jay would get mad at something trivial, and I would get mad at him and be like, so maybe the weight was in the wrong position or the bench was not exactly right, and we'd be like, fuck the fuck up, blah. But one day we were leaving. Yeah,
the Smith machine would piss us off more than anything because I'd put it somewhere and he'd move it and I'd come back and be like, God damn it, you moved the fucking.
And that's how we talk. We were like, rah, 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 rah. But we were leaving his grandmother's house and we were, either we had just got done working out or we were going to work. I don't know what it was. So we were pulling out of the driveway. He's like, listen here, you. Okay. So then I decided to like go like that to him.
He flexed towards it, like, made a move like he was going to punch me. And, like, I flinched like a little bitch. Jay, and then I was, like, looking at him. And I did the same thing to him, and he flinched. And we were both, like, we couldn't do anything but laugh afterwards. It was, like, this is so fucking ridiculous.
I was like, what the fuck is going on with us right now?
I was telling
how much testosterone is running through this fucking veins of ours.
I was telling Ferris this before you got here. It's like, you know, I've been on this high protein diet for like a few weeks, you know, a couple weeks now. I'm like back in high school now. The wind blows a certain way. I'm like, how you doing? I'm like, whoa, what the fuck?
Shit. I just remember like, not only did we jump back, but it was like, it wasn't like, we were like. And then I go, and he jumped back like a foot. And I was like, oh my, this is so ridiculous.
Like I said, he did it, then I did it to him. Like, because I did it, and he's like, you little bitch. And then I did it to him, and he flinched, and then we couldn't do anything but laugh.
So feels like Brett's wet dream.
You know what the funny thing is that you know how I know what time of the year it was?
Shrugs.
This sounds bad, but it was a time of the year that the Sandy Hook shooting happened. Because it happened in December of, like, 2012 or something like that.
December or November.
December, November. And me and Jay were, okay, so Jay... convinced me to go and tear down a dock that was made out of fucking iron, literal iron.
Holy shit.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And so he had this machine from his work at the time that could cut iron. What was it called? What kind of machine?
K-12 saw.
K-12 saw.
Just for clarity, the shooting was December 14th, 2012. Holy shit, that was like a week after I graduated college.
That was the day. So... we were, I just remember I was on the news that day, but we were fucking cutting this thing to pieces, right? And we were walking, like, you know, seeing Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he's walking with, like, the log on his shoulder? That's what we were doing with pieces of iron on our shoulders and just walking hundreds, like 200 pounds of iron on our shoulders, walking it out.
Not like 50 or 60 pounds, like you said, like 200, 250 pounds. Like, pieces where we, looking at it now as a mature adult somewhat, quote unquote, definitely cut it up in smaller pieces so you don't wear yourself out. But we were just like, so like, whatever, we're doing this. Like, we moved how much?
It was tons. We moved literal tons.
Like, we made what, 3 or 4 trips?
Yeah.
And it was a couple thousand pounds a trip that we had loaded on this trailer. And we're not talking about like, walking from like 10 feet or so with it. We're walking like, what, 50 yards with it?
Yeah.
From where we were cutting it, pulling it up, cutting it, and then taking it to the trailer. And we worked our balls off.
This is funny. This is great.
Yeah, we were under the impression the more weight we moved, the more money we were going to make. And we were, I mean, we moved some weight as far as steel or iron that day. And steal whatever else. And then we made...
then we made both... Okay. It actually was like $1,000.
We were going to split it 50-50.
And we ended up getting 70 bucks a piece. Because, I mean, it didn't belong to us. I mean, I get that, yeah, but shit.
And the reasoning behind it was my family was trying to get ownership of this property, and they were going to take the money from the scrap iron. They're going to pay us some, but they're going to use the rest of it to try to renovate the camp so we'd have a nice place to go hunting and fishing out of and stuff like that. So we put all that money ended up getting put back in the camp, and then the person that owned it was like, yeah, no, we're not going to sell it, we're going to keep it. And then they turned around and sold it after we did a bunch of work to it and made a pretty good bit of money. Assholes.
And we were And that was like at our peak jacked.
You would talk about a couple of weeks later, or was it a couple of weeks before when we went duck hunting?
What happened? I remember
the skunk.
The skunk that was in the bottom of the thing, and
we heard something scratching on the floor, and like I smooth forgot to tell Ferris, like, hey, there'd been a skunk that had been moving around in this place, but we hadn't caught him yet. And I just remember waking up like early in the morning. And, like, there was no heat in this place. It was just fireplace. So we're sleeping by the fireplace, and we hear this scratching on the floor. And I woke up, and I looked over, and Ferris has his hand up there, and he knocks on the floor. And as soon as he knocks on the floor, that skunk sprays. And it is horrid. It was horrible. Like, I couldn't get, no, don't do that out of my mouth, because I knew what it was. And I think he knew, like, we knew it was an animal. I knew it was a skunk, but he was thinking it was something else. And like, whenever he knocked, that thing sprayed, and it was just, like, instantaneous, like, oh, my God.
I think we were talking about, like there was, like, a small hole in the floor, and I was like, what if you just were looking through there, and he sprays you right in the eyeball? Like, oh. And then we killed one duck.
Yeah. We didn't even get it.
We couldn't retrieve him because he was, like,
the current was pulling. So the dam for that lake was, like, it was close enough to us, I guess. I don't know. It is weird. The current pulled the duck out away from us. And, like, I walked out there to the point where water was, like, leaking into my waders. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going any further. We just watched that duck disappear. It's like, poor bastard.
It was
a horrible hunting trip.
Yeah, it was terrible because it was fucking cold. And I just remember, I think whenever it hit the ground is whenever the wood, like ran out. Like, we kept getting up to put more wood on the fire because it was so cold. And then I was like, God damn, it's fucking cold.
Yeah, it was cold enough inside the house, like, you'd breathe and you could see your breath. Now, we still had a fire going, so, like, your feet were nice and toasty, but everything else was cold as all get out. It was horrible.
You know, every time I hear a hunting story, I'm just like, you know, fuck this shit.
This is not the type. That is not a hunting story. That is just...
That was us going and screwing off doing stuff, and then hunting was involved in it.
Yeah, we were just. Weren't we in a neighborhood, kind of?
Not
like really. Like a semi-neighborhood?
Something like that, I guess.
I kept asking, I was like, are we allowed to hunt here?
Yeah, it was like a big question, like, are we allowed to? And like, we sat out there, like, because I remember we watched a bunch of ducks fly over, and we're like, damn, I don't know if we should shoot or not. And then somebody started shooting that was like a couple hundred yards away, and we're like, ah, screw it, we're hammered now.
I think the duck we killed was probably like a pet duck.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Boom. We got him, though. We didn't get him, but we got him.
Yeah.
We didn't get him, but we got him.
R.I.P., bro.
Something got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about when that morning I woke up and I was death staring the shit out of you and Brett.
I was fucked up. I drank way too much.
Whenever Brett's truck broke down, right?
Yeah, yes. And I wanted. I remember the funniest thing about it is like Brett. So like later on, after you and Brett had gone to do whatever, I'm on the phone with Jay, and he's Jay is just trying to make small talk, but I'm just not in. I'm like, Jay, man, look, I don't know fuck about vehicles, and that's where we're at right now, man. I'm going to just hang up on you because fuck this goddamn week, and I don't ever want to do this again.
And we got it started. We were like, do not stop. We got to go. We got to just.
Getting it started wasn't a problem, getting it to go past 10 miles an hour because Brett put the jumper cables on backwards.
It blew a fuse, and then we changed the fuse out, and it started, and we were like, okay, let's just go. Just fucking go. But I remember whenever we were down the road and I had to get out and had to go poop in the woods. And I remember I sent you a picture of my poop. I was like, look how big this fucking.
I just remember y'all called and I was laying there. I was like, why are they calling me? And I Googled like common problems with that year model truck and engine package and all that stuff. So I was telling y'all like, hey, this is what these guys said on this forum or whatever. And
you also got to keep in mind, at the time, the three of us knew, like, we know a little bit about vehicles now, but at the time, three of us knew nothing.
Not much.
I remember going to Kyle's house for a high school graduation party, and some girl, I can't remember whose car it was, some girl's car broke down, and because I had passed, I was like the only person in state of Louisiana at the time to pass a test to go to quote unquote NASCAR Technical Institute. And they came up there and said, hey, you're a mechanic, come fix this. And I walked down there and they turned the key and I was just like, I'm listening, I'm like, fuel pump. Hell yeah. And they were like, oh no, really? I was like, yeah, you gotta get the fuel pump. And turns come to find out it was something simple. Like
batteries are out.
But I was put on the spot, like, I don't know. The one time I did diagnose an issue right was, you remember Seth?
Which Seth?
Barry.
Yeah, yeah.
He was dating a girl at the time, and her car was in the driveway at my mom and dad's house. We were over there watching a movie or whatever, and she turned the key, and, like, it just made a clicking noise or whatever. And she's like, I think it's the battery. And then she tried it again, and it would act like it was turning over, but it never would fire. And I was just like, that's definitely a fuel pump. And she was like, no, it's not. I was like, yeah, no, it's a fuel pump. Anyways, her dad came over, looked at it, took it to a mechanic, and they said it was a fuel pump. And she was like, you were right.
You're right.
A fuel pump. And I was like, yeah.
Blind squirrel finding that corner.
I knew that. And really, it was just a guess I pulled out of my rear end. So
they really should teach, like, basic auto shit in high schools. This should be a requirement.
Yeah, so I'm sure you've seen the meme where – well, I don't know. Are you off social media at all?
Yeah.
So you've seen the meme where they're like, if you ever think that this generation is smarter than the previous generations, remember that back in like the 50s or whatever, it told you how to adjust the valves for timing on your vehicle or whatever. And now it tells you there's a warning in there saying don't drink the contents out of the battery. It's like, yeah, that's a pretty good point.
So, Tim, do you remember when we were there that night and we went to Goldana? Wherever, I mean, that's past the Lake Caney. It's way out there. It's next to the Kestachie National Wildlife Refuge.
The night you, me, and Brett went hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't actually hunt. Yeah. We had hunted for like 30 minutes one day.
Where were you going to hunt?
Pigs.
Hogs. Oh, okay.
So I gave Tim, what I gave you? I gave you some kind of gun. It's like,
I don't know, but let me tell this part of the story. So, like, I don't own camo, so I'm out there in jeans and a fucking bright red hoodie. I look up and, like, I'm just fucking off. Like, I don't belong out there. And I look over at Ferris. Ferris looks over at me. And, Ferris, like, I can see it unwritten on Ferris's face. Like, oh, shit, something happens. I'm going to have to go save his ass.
The pig comes.
So
we had this idea we were going to stab a pig with a spear. That was our whole goal.
Yeah,
how dumb is that?
Really, the only thing we accomplished was Ferris rode a four with a drunk as shit at 2 o'clock in the morning over a fucking big fire log.
Brett had this. We had the fire going, and we were all sitting around the fire. And then Brett decided to go live on Facebook. You remember that?
Yes.
And we were all talking shit to each other. And then there was that chick. I won't say her name. Her name's Amy, but I mean,
yeah,
they don't know who she is.
So basically, like, me and Ferris kept having this competition to see who could take her out, and neither one of us even got close. But
one day I was drunk as fuck and I was like, I go, who you texting over there, Tim? Brett goes,
right?
Hey, who you texting over there? And I go, yeah, who are you texting over there, Tim?
So Ferris had tried first and then I said, fuck it, I'm gonna try. And that just became the whole running game.
And we were like, I was like, A2 Timmis, A2. But
that's,
Brett
that's
had
crazy
that four wheeler.
Had that stuff happen before. Yeah. So, like Nola.
Yeah.
And I won't say her name, but the girl he picked up from the bar that I happen to know from a previous
right
deal. And then he got pissed. They didn't even try to make a move on somebody else's.
It was always
girlfriend
like
or
that
something
happened at the time.
Bro, if you brought a chick to that house, you kind of like had to like.
Everyone had to share.
Yeah,
share. You had to stay on top of her. Not.
I remember like being in that dining room area and we were playing a cards game and something happened with.
Don't get too into it.
Yeah, something happened with two females or whatever. And
oh, those are crazy nights.
I got,
that was a pretty crazy night.
I got like a little too excited about it. I just remember Zach looking at me. He's like, chill.
Well, basically because you jumped up on the ice and was like, woo!
I still.
I remember Ferris. I don't know. I think it was Ferris, but somebody ran into my room and were like, these two chicks are about to make out. So I naturally hit pause on my game and get up.
I used to, I, and you know,
I was just trying to cheer on the situation, you know.
So there used to be, okay, on
Hookshot.
Whenever you on your iPhone, it would be like, hey, so and so, if like Jay made a new profile picture for his phone, it would automatically update on my contacts. Well, my original, well, I won't say what the original picture was, but Jay had this red onesie, like underwear, like, okay, like a flannel onesie,
yeah,
that
like
had like
the
butt
suit
flap and everything like that.
Yeah.
And he was wearing that and a cowboy hat. Okay.
I remember that picture.
And there's a picture of him going like, he was on that fake horse that I had for my girlfriend at the time. It was this big
horse.
Big
it was on the back of the couch.
And Jay was on it, and has one of him riding it. And there's one of him going like this, and there's one of him going like this. Can I say what was hanging out?
I guess. I don't remember. Okay.
One of them, he pulled his cock out, and it's like he's standing on the couch with his dick out, with a cowboy hat, and a ridiculous fucking onesie on. And I was like,
"I wore that onesie to a fucking casino."
I think you wore the onesie to a
UOM
game.
Did you wear it to a NASCAR race?
Maybe, I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure
I remember wearing it to the casino, and I walked in, and the security guard was looking at me, and I was like, sup, and like threw the deuces at me. He just watched me walk by like, what the fuck?
I mean, it's you are containing everything. It's like, it's not, I mean, it did have a butt flap and a dick flap, but I mean, like, you know, you were wearing full clothing. It's not like you weren't. But that was my picture of Jay going like with his hands out, but I cropped it up so it wasn't having his cock out, and it, with the cowboy hat on and that red onesie.
Was it the cowboy hat or was it the sombrero?
It was,
because I wore the red onesie to a Texas Rangers game, and on the way to the game,
that's what it was, a Texas Rangers game,
we stopped by a gas station and there was a sombrero, like, and it was no shit, like 4 foot wide, so it's this huge freaking sombrero that I got on. And then they had, that was whenever the whole antler deal was a big thing with the Rangers, so I had this like head, this foam head thing that had the hand doing like this on top of the sombrero. And, like, I showed up at the game, and, of course, first thing that happens is they put me on, like, the big screen. Well, then my phone starts freaking going off. Like, bro, we saw you on TV. Dude, we saw you at the game. And then, like, people that I knew that were at the game that I didn't know were at the game were, like, sending me messages. And then they were playing the Minnesota Twins, and a person from Minnesota sent me a tweet. And, like, it was a screenshot of me on the big screen that they could see.
I got it. I got a. Yeah, I got one of the pictures. It's not the one with his cock out. I don't know what happened to that one. Well, I know what I used to, it was on my phone. I
hope it's never ever seen again.
Well, I mean, you had it. It was like my contact one, but it was like cropped up, so your cock, like I said, your cock wasn't out, but it was just you with your big grin, that fucking big cowboy hat.
I remember, because I think he wore a white onesie or something to the ULM whiteout game.
Dude, that was miserable. So I spray painted.
No, it was fucking hot as shit.
That's when ULM played Baylor. It was the whiteout game.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, we're going to, like, the whole purpose was dress up stupid as hell so we get on TV.
Right.
But you assholes went and sat at the very top of the student section.
There's nowhere else to go.
That game, there was nowhere else to go.
I don't care, man. I was pissed. I was like, I'm sitting way up here looking like a jackass.
Wearing, I was one with
I was
angel
wearing
wings.
A ULM. I was wearing a ULM helmet with the face mask removed, black aviators, a white onesie. But this onesie was like no shit, like wool. I was sweating everything off. Tattoos, skin, hair, everything was sweating off of me. And I even spray painted a pair of my work boots. Not just white. I had to do a pearl white.
That was a fun night, man. That was like...
That was really good.
If we'd have won, that would have been even better. But like that show...
What was even crazier about that game was afterwards, the Baylor fans like coming and talking to us like, dude, we had a blast with y'all. Like, I don't know how many Baylor fans I took pictures with because I had that goofy-ass helmet on. But like...
It's kind of sad, though, because we had to tell them, hey, it ain't like this all the time.
No, this is just because we went to the Independence Bowl earlier this year.
No, it was because we had beaten Arkansas. It was the same year we went to the Independence Bowl, but we had beaten Arkansas that year. No. That's our national. Yeah,
it was.
It was because, remember, we beat Arkansas because we were at the chick I was dating at the time. Because right
That's
after,
right. So we, the year before, there was a glimmer of hope that they were going to be a good team. Then that year, we beat Arkansas.
Then we went to overtime with Auburn and lost because of a field goal.
Yeah.
And then we played Baylor.
Everybody said the reason why Todd Berry should have been fired was because he lost to Auburn, because Auburn was so horrible that year.
Never mind the fact we fucking went 8-4, and that was the only time we've had a winning record.
Yeah. What happened when it was at the game, and it was fucking cold, the Independence Bowl, and you said
wasn't it like sprinkling the whole time?
No, it was fucking
like ice,
snowing.
Like snow, like sleet.
It wasn't even snow, it was fucking ice coming up. Okay, so
like 3 days later, we went back to Shreveport, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny story about when we beat Arkansas. We're at the chick I'm dating's house at the time. Yeah. After the game, Jay puts it on NASCAR, and I'm so hyped up. I'm like, we're watching it. I don't give a fuck about NASCAR, but I'm like, I don't know who the fuck that dude is in the lead in the silver car, but go silver car. Dude. Like, I was pumped.
Of all people, though. This is Dale Jr. I damn near broke my ankle that night. We were on the phone with Zach, like, yeah, talking to him. But after, when they won the game, like, I remember jumping up and I landed. There was like a step off or something in the backyard. And I landed off that step off and rolled my ankle. And I was like, I just broke my fucking leg.
So
it didn't matter. You all know one.
Right, we were all stoked. So at the Independence game, we're at the Independence Bowl. We're at Independence Stadium. We're getting it's cold as fucking. It is miserably cold. We're playing Ohio, and it might as well have been. It was a home game for us, pretty much, but it might as well have been a home game for them because I mean, it was like 30 degrees.
Yeah, they brought Ohio with them. Weather.
Yeah, it was fucking. It wasn't snowing, but it was fucking shit falling from the sky. That was cold as shit.
I remember it was miserable. It was miserable in Monroe because I was at work that day. That was the day. Fun fact for anybody that gives a shit. That was when Monroe Fire Department got their new ARF truck. They delivered it off a flatbed, and I was like, that's awesome. It's cold as shit. Go back inside.
Well, so it is god fucking awful cold, right? And we're getting our ass kicked, and the game is, I don't know if the game really dragged on or it was just miserable conditions, so it seemed like it dragged on.
Didn't you, William, get
your ass whooped?
Yeah, that made it somewhat long because I remember watching, and then the third quarter, it was like,
I think we lost like 40-something to 14, yeah, and that might bad. Yeah, it was bad. But so at one point, I look over to Ferris and I go, "Man, if this game don't hurry up, I'm not getting any pussy tonight." And Ferris goes, "Well, my girlfriend's on the rag, so I know I'm not getting any pussy." And my mom turns around and looks at both of us, and me and Ferris are like, "What?"
Yeah, I can remember sitting there because at halftime's when that truck got delivered. And I walked out and looked at it and walked back in. It seemed like the third quarter lasted like freaking 4 hours.
It was
too
much.
It was fucking
cold.
And like watching the ULM, like, you know, the ULM fans just slowly dwindled out. And man,
smart ones.
Time to go to the casino.
And by the time we got to the bus, like, we're all like fucking popsicles. And here come the Ohio people, like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" All peppy and shit. And we're over here like, fuck you.
So what's, you talk about cold weather. I remember. The roommates y'all had from Colorado. Was it Colorado?
Yeah.
And, like, I remember it got cold as shit one day. Like, I walked outside with one of them, and they're like, "Dude, it gets cold in Colorado, but this is a whole nother level of cold." And it wasn't like 36, 37 degrees or whatever.
Yeah.
But they were like, "Dude, this is this is unbearably cold. And I was like, well, yeah, up in Colorado, y'all have what? What's the humidity?
Not a lot. I mean. Yeah.
And now at that time, it was like 80-something percent humidity with 37 degrees and a 10-mile-an-hour wind. So it felt like it was like 20 degrees outside.
Shit, not long ago, it was like it was like 95 degrees, but there was no humidity. And, you know, I do lawn care. I was like, you know, this ain't that terrible. You know, I mean, it sucks. It's still hot. But, I mean, humidity, you know, not being anything, it ain't bad. And the other day I was working, it was like 80 degrees, but the humidity made it like 90, 92. And I was sweating bullets. And I'm like, man, all right, fuck this. I'd rather have it be hot and no humidity than fucking cool with 100% humidity. Eat a dick.
Yeah.
Speaking
that's
of which,
that's a weird thing from like when I was overseas. Like, it get hot enough over there that, like, you literally walking around. You're like, it's not really that bad. Like, it's hot, but it wasn't that bad. But you'd see, like, doves and pigeons fly by, and, like, they'd have, like, a heat stroke or cardiac arrest, basically. Like, mid-flight, and just, like, collapse and crash to the ground. You're like, what the hell just happened there?
You know, Jay's the only person that I've ever went in the car with that he actually hit a fucking dove with his truck.
No. Not the dove flew into us. Like, the dove was flying down the road in front of us, and I caught it from behind. We were on the way to the camp, your camp in Downsville.
Yeah.
We're driving there, and, like, I remember, like, on my way out there, it was me and Lizzie's, like, first date or second date or something. And, like, I see something, like, way off in the distance. I'm like, what the hell is that? And it's this bird flying, and it just takes, it goes up and disappears. And I'm like, okay, well, no big deal. And then all of a sudden, like, it just makes a hard left back into the front of the truck. It was an owl. But, like, it hit the front of the truck, and I just heard, the front of the truck go, thong, and then feathers went everywhere. And I was laughing, and Lindsay's like, that was so horrible. And I'm like, I just blew this. I'll never see this chick again.
And here we are.
We're married.
You know, the irony of it is that same night was my graduation night. And I got into an argument with a chick I was dating because a different chick showed up. And, yep, that did not work out well.
Yeah, he tried to set up the menage a trois.
No, I didn't. Oh. It's just this chick. The chick that showed up was super talkative, and she was easy to talk to. So I got kind of wrapped up. And later on, my girlfriend at the time was like, yeah, she just brought out your little social butterfly, didn't she? Because I remember Ferris texting me, hey, man. Your girlfriend just texted my girlfriend that you won't shut the fuck up talking to this chick. And, yeah, you need to shut the fuck up. Oh, well, that relationship died a death that it should have died a lot quicker. And, you know, oh, well.
So, we're technically at 1:16, but I think I didn't start it for another, like, 3 minutes. So, we got about, like, 2 more minutes. So, how did you enjoy your first time on here, Jay? Your official first time on here.
Yeah. It wasn't that bad.
You made me care about NASCAR.
You nervous for a second? Were you nervous at all?
No. I got to do a lot of speaking at work, so in front of a bunch of big, important people. So
okay. Last little piss answer. You ain't worried about talking in front of us.
No, it's just become, like, don't get me wrong, the first time I ever spoke in front of them, I was a babbling idiot.
Right.
Like, stumbling, stuttering. And then I learned, like, basically, the momentum for the day starts with whatever message I drop out. So, I don't know.
But how'd you like it? Just like
I liked
you,
it.
You gonna come I'm on? I'm
really.
Again?
I apologize to your listeners for getting them to care about NASCAR if they do.
No, but
it was interesting.
It's better than talking about 40 minutes of whether Tim would let another man sleep with his woman.
Yeah.
Also, we're brought to you by Calumet Whiskey. Take a shot. You'll enjoy it. No, I'm just kidding. We're not having no sponsors. But yeah. Oh, sorry.
I still can't believe we talked about that for 40 fucking minutes.
We got 2 minutes to kill.
I will be honest, though. I laughed pretty much a solid 38 minutes out of that 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was.
There was a couple parts where it was like, hey, this is dragging on. But
someone I care about very much was like, what the fuck were you doing? I was like, well.
Yeah. I don't know this story, so I'm going to need you to tell it to me afterwards.
Got a little carried away.
Weird but harmless after dark.
Yeah.
Are you closing it out, Tim?
No, not yet. No, Tim is usually the opener.
Yeah.
Tim opens a closer. Yeah.
All right. Well,
we're not there yet. Hold on.
Go ahead. Take it away, Harvick. That's his nickname.
Harvick.
Speaking of the closer.
15 seconds.
Dave Chappelle.
Didn't watch it. Was it good?
I don't know. I don't have Netflix anymore. I was relying on you for this.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, I really wouldn't mind watching it just to see. Like, so when people say something's offensive, I want to watch it just to see.
Right.
And a lot of times you can tell, like, okay, I see where somebody would take that the wrong way. Especially, I look at things and listen to things and read things, and I say, that's the mark right there where someone's going to get their feelings hurt.
So big pet peeve, even though I hadn't watched it, but what it seems like is the whole comedy special. He just, Dave Chappelle's equal opportunity shit on you. You know, he's going to shit on everybody and everything. Seems like what I've noticed, though, is transgenders aren't mad at the show. They're mad that he went off on them.
Apparently, at the end of it, he brought it into a friend of his that was a fellow comedian that was trans that committed suicide or whatever. And he, like, tied it all into this, like, big joke of how this dude, or, excuse me, this individual, I don't know the full whatever.
Yeah, fair enough.
But anyways, that individual would have thought this whole set and the joke at the end was a perfect tribute. And he, like, made it, like, a tribute to that person with their transgender stuff that was going on, so.
Well, that's a nice way to end it.
Be who you can afford to be.
Be who you can be.
Harmless. Weird but harmless. Harmless. My podcast. Harmless. Harmless.
Scrap this shit up. I'm hungry as fuck.
Okay, and guys, we are done.